The first is one of the first of the Zionist thinkers named Moses Hess, who actually had been a very important disciple of the early socialists. And all of a sudden, by 1840 or so, as a result of a libel in Damascus, a blood libel, a Jewish kid was accused of, a kid had been killed, and Jews had been blamed because they were using his blood for Passover ritual purposes. All of this is a long history, a long pedigree, this notion of a blood libel. But Damascus blood libel was riveting to Moses Hess, and he said, he became a Zionist, and he offered in a work penned some years later called Rome and Jerusalem, a solution to the Jewish problem by offering the idea of a Jewish state. But even more important than Hess was Theodor Herzl, the great political thinker and founder of the Zionist movement. For him, the riveting moment came about in 1894 and the Dreyfus Affair. A captain in the French army was accused of spying, primarily because he was Jewish. He was unrightfully accused of this crime. And Herzl, who was covering this as a newspaper reporter, was somehow overwhelmed. What's going on here? This is the country of freedom, equality, fraternity. How is it possible that this could happen? As a result, clearly Herzl realizes that he must compose his very famous work, The Jewish State, and offer a practical, economic, political solution to the Jewish problem. And finally, Leon Pinsker, writing a year after, 1882, after the pogroms in Russia, an assimilated doctor, a Russian intellectual, a work called Auto-Emancipation. We're not going to be emancipated ourselves. Here's the idea. The only people that are going to emancipate us are ourselves. No one's going to help us. We are dead in the water here. There is a disease of Jewish ghosts that permeates European society. It is called Judophobia. And as a result, the only way we can eliminate this problem is to remove ourselves, is to exit, is to get out and to create a Jewish state. So all three of them thus provide us with examples of how the new anti-Semitism, and I should add, the new nationalisms, which offer us a constructive, in other words, a positive example of how to create a national movement and thus a national state, are working on intellectuals who had been on the margins in terms of their Jewish identity. Pinsker and Herzl and Hess were clearly not traditional Jews, but they came to their Jewish identity and their Zionist solution through their engagement with these social forces that were going on. And now perhaps we should say a word or two in the remaining minutes about the larger issue of what Zionism ultimately became. Zionism is built on certain paradoxes that are never fully resolved. In fact, if you understand what I'm saying now, and what I will be saying in my next lecture, you will have some sense of the present problems and realities of Israeli society as well. In other words, it is quite interesting to see the legacy that I'm describing at this moment of inception of how it plays itself out even 100 years later. Let me frame the question, at least now, and pick it up in our next lecture. Zionism was both the product of the traditional messianic yearning of Jews to return to the land of Israel, but also the product of modern nationalism. In other words, the first question we might ask, and now stepping back from all this and asking ourselves, what do we mean by Zionism? Is this new? Is it old? Is it post-emancipatory? Or did it exist throughout time? Were Jews always longing to return to the land of Zion? Or is this simply a version, a Jewish version of modern nationalism? And the answer is it is both. And that is the paradox, because it is both old and it is new. On the one hand, there is a strong notion within Jewish tradition of chosenness, uniqueness, the notion of a separate place, of a separate land. The centrality of land in Jewish culture is, of course, primary. And of course, that land being the land of Israel, where Jews had begun the early stages of their communal career. They had been out of that land. They desired to return to that land. And therefore, Zionism played on that traditional impulse and tried to build upon it. At the same time, why only in the 19th century? Why not Zionism in the 18th century, or the 15th century, or the 14th century? Because of modern nationalism. because Zionists saw that the strategy for bringing about this development was the creation of a nationalist movement like Italian nationalism, German nationalism, and so on. And thus we can say here, in conclusion, that Zionism is both a traditional movement and also a very modern movement. It arose at a moment drawing from past aspirations, but creating a new modern context in the world of 19th century Europe.